titled the message this morning, Restoring Waves of the Spirit. Restoring Waves of the Spirit. God created man for himself. For himself. And he did not create man for industry or for recreation. He didn't create him for civilization, politics, all of the things that were to follow that have come to pass on this earth. But he created man for himself. Now, the scriptures tell us in Genesis 1:27 that man was created in the image of God. He was made and created that way, that there was something about man that was created in the image of God. God created man with an ability for man to respond to him through the Spirit, so that man was, something was put inside of him that gave him an ability to respond and be connected with God in the Spirit. And this physical body that God also gave to man, it was suited for this earth. It was made for Adam to have outward expression for the inner Adam, who was the real inner man, so that he could physically hear, speak, talk, and relate in this earthly atmosphere. And when Adam trespassed, when he chose to sin, Adam made a decision in the inner man, in his soul. And in a real sense, he commanded his body to carry out that sin. The body really did not make the choice. Adam chose in the inner man and commanded his body to carry out that sin. And that was through his will. Now, from that time on, and I want to clarify, I'm not saying that there had to be a physical act of eating an apple, but in other words, from that time, mankind began to, through the will, command their body to actually carry out and to perform sin and trespasses against God. And they began to live, as we have heard other messages, and I won't go back, but they began to experience living by the knowledge of good and evil. Man was now faced with making choices rather than being tied directly through the Spirit to the Lord. And that's somewhat like having a 6-year-old or a 5-year-old or a 3-year-old faced with making major family decisions that in a way they are not capable of doing. They're not capable of making those kinds of decisions. And man now found himself in a place faced with decisions that really in himself he wasn't capable of handling. I believe that the body was created as a channel that the spirit of man would control as it was inputted by the Spirit of God. And all the body was made for was to be somewhat like in a stereo system, a speaker. And everything that happens, happens back in the turntable, the tape deck, through the amplifier, the power source, and the speaker has no say in that. And yet the speaker is essential to show off that music or whatever's coming across that tape deck. But the body is only to be, in a sense, as a speaker. Or in another sense, maybe as a screen in a television. The screen does not make the picture. It simply shows forth something that's coming from the inside. And I know this is somewhat background. But now Adam and mankind begin to take the body into account directly as they begin to make decisions. The body actually began to have input about what should be done in this life. And I believe that this was out of the order of the logos or the plan and that intent and purpose of God. I believe that man now was outside of what God had really intended for man. Turn to Genesis 4, if you will. Genesis chapter 4. Beginning at verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Now, man is introduced now to this struggle of the will. He's now faced with, if I do well, I'll be accepted. If not, sin is lying at the door. And in the beginning, it wasn't that way. Adam was tied in with God. There is a big, wide door, I believe, that was opened when Adam sinned. And I believe that it eventually changed the apparent, and I want to emphasize that word, the apparent reason for man's existence. It began to be that man now was living in a world where he had choices. He was interconnecting with other people. He was creating businesses. He was buying. He was selling. He was trading. And the apparent reason for his life was changed from that of the plan and the logos of God, which was to have man's spirit connected to him so that God could control and live out through man. But now man was not, that was not the apparent reason. And if we look at our world today, what's the apparent reason for man's existence? Is it to be directly tied in through the Spirit to God? No. That doesn't even enter most people's minds. Even many Christians' minds do not see that as the apparent reason for living. Communion that was free and unhindered with God through the Spirit and then outwardly expressed through the body in a clean, clear, open life, that was the intent of God in the beginning. And that has now changed to being in charge of man's own will, knowing good and evil, being influenced by the strong temptation of Satan through demonic spirits, and man now having to command his own mind, his own body, and make individual decisions all the way through his life. Should I do that or should I give into this? Should I seek the higher or should I give into the lower? From Genesis chapter 4 all the way down to Revelation chapter 21, all the way through man's history, we see this continuing sad story of a man who's incapable, really, of making those decisions, disconnected from God in the Spirit, and groping his way through life. And the result is found in Galatians chapter 5, if you'll turn there. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 17, most of us can quote this. More importantly, most of us have lived this. Galatians 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. We don't do the things that we really want to do many times. So the battle has come down to simple obedience versus complicated disobedience. And we might say beautifully packaged complicated disobedience many times. Well thought out and justified. Now, back briefly to the Logos and this plan of God. John chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now we know, and I'm not going to take a lot of time this morning, that word, which is Logos, it talks about this inward intent and plan of God that was going to be outwardly expressed. It was there in the beginning with God. He had a very specific plan, a purpose, and that has never altered. And it says in verse 2, well, and I want to say this, just as God has unfolded himself as to his nature, this unfolding revelation of God, as the great I am, we have seen God as he's unfolded himself in his word. And I believe it's the same way with this plan of God, this Logos. It was there in the beginning. It's never changed, and it's being unfolded more and more and more down through the history of man. And it says in verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. And I don't believe that that's redundant, just saying it again. I believe the impact is this. There was a plan. There was an intent of God. And it was the same in the beginning with him. And it hasn't altered or changed. It was there with God. All the way from Genesis 4 to Revelation 21, it was with God, this same intent and purpose for man. And I believe that what that plan is that this earthling was to be graced with that which was divine. We were to have the nature of God. Like it says in 1 Timothy 3, great is the mystery of godliness, of godlikeness. Well, what is the mystery? It's that man is able to interact and take on that likeness of God. And that is a mystery. I mean, that's a wonderful... It's hard for us to understand, but that's the intent of God. And I won't take the time, but in 1 Timothy 3:16, it says that God was manifest in the flesh. That's what it tells us. God was manifest in the flesh. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, and it's Christ speaking, he says, "A body hast thou prepared for me." And in verse 10 of that same chapter, it talks about the offering of the body of Christ for an offering of sin. And in John chapter 14 and verse 10, Jesus speaking said, "The Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works." Now I wanted to mention those three scriptures for a reason. Christ, I believe, portrayed perfectly this plan of God in that he had a body, he had a soul, and he had a spirit. But the body of Christ simply lived out the commands from his spirit as he was input by God. Not my will, but thy will be done. And so when people looked at Christ, they saw the perfect living out of what God was like. I believe in the way he looked at people. I believe the way he spoke, the way he rebuked, the way he showed mercy, the way he loved. It was an inward expression lived out in perfect unison through a physical body that could express that. And God could have manifested himself larger than life. He could have been a God who came down and in some other way, but he chose to manifest himself in a body. And all of this, again, is building. There is going to be a point. God does not have a physical body. We know that from Scripture. God is a spirit that fills heaven and earth. So this inward nature and this likeness and image of God that God wants to perform in us is tied with the inner man. But it's going to be lived out in these mortal bodies. And I believe that. Christ lived this out and he gave us a pattern. He showed us what it was like. And this brings me actually to the heart of the message this morning. Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This treasure that we have inside, it's in earthly vessels. So God can have the glory. But the point is, it is in earthen vessels. Verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. In our mortal flesh, the life of Jesus being shown. God wants to be seen in our mortal flesh. But each of us who is an honest saint of God this morning, we know that we have lacks. We have long responded in our bodies, and we, through our own will and choice and our mind, have actually commanded our bodies to sin many times. We've done that many times. Not only that, but demons have strongly prompted us to sin through our body. Isn't that true? Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Isn't that a clear command? And we know that that's true. We know that we should do that. But we're still not doing it, are we? To a full extent. There's a little poem I read once, and it said, "Do this and live, the law commands, but gives me neither feet nor hands. A better word the gospel brings, it bids me fly, and it gives me wings." And I've always liked that poem. I keep looking that direction. So this plan of God was to have man living in his image and likeness. According to Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image. We know that that's God's plan. If anybody on the face of the earth knows it, we've heard that enough. We know that. So what is God doing about that plan? What is he doing about that? And before I answer, I want to make the problem a little bit more clear. And I want to read just briefly, and you can just listen and close your eyes if you like, and weigh out, as I read these, how you're doing. These are just a few of the things that are listed in Scripture as the revealed will of God. Love God with all of your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Continually praise God. Give thanks, honor, and glory to God. Glory in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Be bold in the Lord. Lift up holy hands to the Lord without doubting. Do all things heartily unto the Lord. Praise God in the dance. Forget not his benefits. Don't forget the good things that God has done. Delight in his law. Take delight in the law of God. Praise the Lord with instruments. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be fervent in the spirit. Draw nigh unto God. Rest in the Lord and abide in him. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Worship God in spirit and truth. Desire to know his will. Study to show yourself approved. Share what you know in the word with the brethren. Have your eyes enlightened. Take heed to all of the doctrine and continue in it. Desire the sincere milk of the word. Hear good counsel. Live by every word of God. Teach the new ones the word of God. Feed his lambs. Hide his word in your heart. Continually ask and seek and knock. Agree in prayer. Gird up the loins of your mind. Don't let them sag. Don't let the mind wander. Gird it up. Pray without ceasing. Pray with understanding. Let your requests be made known unto God. Come boldly to his throne. Pray in your prayer closet. Give supplications and prayers and intercessions for all men in authority. Pray for your brethren in bonds. Wait upon the Lord. Let your alms be done in secret. Discern the Lord's body. Do all for edification of the body. Present yourself wholly unto God as a living sacrifice. Esteem others higher than yourself. Now that's about 45 out of, I think, 350. And the question I want to ask this morning is this. How many of us are fully and perfectly living that out this morning? You can stand or you can raise your hand, acknowledge it. Now, how many of us deeply inside want to live that out in our life? I do. Now, this is the third question, and it's more important. How many of you believe in your present spiritual state, and we'll even give some room that there's going to be some improvement, how many of you believe that you are going to be able to live all of that out, plus many, many more that we all know about, in your present spiritual state? Do you believe you're going to be able to do that? I don't think I can. I don't think you can, frankly. So we're faced with a pretty simple problem. We're down at one level, but we want to be living at another level. And there's one answer to this problem. We need more waves of the Spirit of God. We need more waves of God's Spirit to bring us to a point where we're not at right now. And just to take a wider view, which might be helpful, what is God doing? There are many, many steps we could look at, because it's not as simplistic as what I'm going to make it, because we're just going to make it simple in a nutshell. But over the last 15 years, just here in our assembly, God has done many things. There have been many waves of His Spirit where He called us to a place where we couldn't, in a sense, go on unless we took another step. There was a new wave of the Spirit. But just recently looking, God has brought deliverance to His people here. We have been being set free from demonic influence in a new way, rooting out some of those deep personality problems that we had that were demonically influenced, patterns and habits in our life. And see, that's not an end in itself. That's just a means of bringing us along this path. Now, the Lord has also brought dancing in the Spirit. And I believe firmly that it's more than just to set us free, and more than just as a fuller worship, although it is. And that's wonderful. And I want to mention, there's one major hindrance to dancing before the Lord, I feel like, and that's wingtips. And I experienced that this morning. I'm convinced they're a major hindrance to the current move of God, but they're about as functional as two wood stoves on each feet. But I believe that this dancing before the Lord that God has brought has a very important purpose. And I believe it's an important link to what I talked about earlier. I believe that the Lord is wanting to restore the authority back to the spirit of man to be lived out through the body as we're input by the Spirit of God. And I believe as we dance before the Lord, it's allowing the spirit of man to have an ability, in a sense, unfettered to receive from the Lord and live out and express the Spirit living out through the body in a way that the Spirit's longed for a long time and has not really had full expression. And I believe as we will enter into this, it is going to carry over into many other areas of our life. Because the body is going to learn to be subjected to what the Spirit wants to do and live through the body. I believe it's an important link in getting away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil back to the tree of life. So that God's Spirit is prompting us in the inner man, and the body simply has to respond. Again, like a speaker or like a screen to show what God is doing. And I believe that's why demon spirits have worked so hard to make people self-conscious of their bodies. That's why sarcasm and these other things have put all of mankind in a place where everyone's self-conscious almost. Have you thought about that? Isn't that strange? That if you're a cheerleader, straight-A student, you're still self-conscious. Well, something's going on. The devil does not want our mortal flesh to be lived out in the glory of God. Now, waves of the Spirit are essential, I believe, to get us to walk in the Spirit. In other words, we want to be somewhere where we're not at, and we have to trust God that He is able, through new waves of His Spirit, to carry us to that shore that we want to get to. Waves of the Spirit, I believe, will cause gifts to flow comfortably through the people of God. I believe that only new and mighty waves of the Spirit will bring us to a unity of the faith. I'm convinced of that in my mind. And not only that, but as I have thought about this, coming to perfection seems much more logical than it has to me before. I've always believed that God would have a bride without spot or wrinkle. And that did not just mean legally cleansed, because it says it's by the washing of the word. And so it can't be just that we are forgiven. But He wants to bring us to a bride without spot or wrinkle. But when I see as a body living, prompted through the Spirit, by the Spirit of God, I don't stagger at all at how God is going to get us to walking in a perfect way before Him. Because His Spirit will be prompting and we'll just live it out through our bodies. But we're not there yet. And the next point is, none of us should be without hope. Because you hope for something that hasn't come yet. And you have to trust and hope that God is able to do it. And so, none of us should be without hope. Something else that's critical is we cannot be selective in what waves of the Spirit we decide to ride and which we say, well, I think I'll pass on this one. We can't do that. And if you think about it, amen. As I have stepped out and danced and worshiped before the Lord, I know that without deliverance in my life, it would not be the same. It would not be the same. And I know that if our pastor for years hadn't preached about dying to self, I don't believe we would have been in the same place to respond to deliverance as we were when it came. There'd have been a huge backlog of necessary work that would have made it much more difficult to respond to deliverance. Now, the reason we should be full of hope is because God surely wants to get us to that place. Otherwise, He would not have baptized Lutherans in the Holy Spirit. Do you know that that was a move of the Spirit of God? Otherwise, He wouldn't have raised up Full Gospel Businessmen's fellowships to open many, many lives to the realm of the Spirit of God. That was a move of the Spirit of God. That opened up millions of people to consider, maybe there's something more in God that I haven't found yet. I don't believe God would have put it in men's hearts to broadcast a Spirit-filled message on national TV if He weren't concerned with getting us to that place. Now, there may be faults and shortcomings, but God is doing things. I don't believe he would have brought dying to self and deliverance and dancing in the Spirit if he wasn't very serious about getting us to that place. And what's even more hopeful is he's going to bring wave of the Spirit number 37 and wave of the Spirit number 38 and 42, and we don't know what those waves of the Spirit are going to be. I have enough faith in God that I believe God can do things in the future that we'll step back and say, if I had thought about it, I never would have thought he'd do that. And yet now look at where it's brought us because of what he did. Now the most important wave of the Spirit that I'm concerned about, it might be number 77, and that's going to be a wave of the Spirit up to glory. And I believe it's essential that we're part of number 37, 38, 39 to let God bring us to the point where, we'll be going up to glory on that day. And I am convinced before the rapture there will be a body of believers that will live only in response to their spirit as it's inputted by God. Because we have learned to live very well input by demon spirits. And they said jump, we jump. They said stop, we stop. They said do this, we did that. We are used to responding to that realm. But I believe just as surely as that, we are going to learn to respond to God's realm. And it's even going to feel more comfortable, I believe, as we begin to learn to respond to that. And I believe that's going to bring us to a unity of the Spirit and to a unity of the faith. Wouldn't it be easy to have a unity of the Spirit if we were only responding to our Spirit and to the Spirit of God as it input that? Who will respond to these new waves of the Spirit? I don't know. Which churches will move that direction? I don't know. I don't know how Community Chapel will fit into all of those new waves of the Spirit. I have every confidence that we will move in it. How will you and I respond to those? And that all depends. We are the ones who are going to choose whether we will move in each of those restoring waves of the Spirit of God. Final scripture, Revelation chapter 22. And verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And the result of this, as we do this, I'll read one more verse. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And see, that has a new meaning to me. Walk in the Spirit, and what will be the result? And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if any of you need hope this morning, I believe that should give us hope, abundant hope, that God is in fact going to have His plan, His purpose, which was the same with Him in the beginning, that it is going to be lived out and carried out through a group of believers, and nothing can hinder us from choosing to be a part of that company.